You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
I know Americans are deeply concerned about the stress in our financial markets and the impact it is having on their retirement accounts and 401ks and college savings and other investments. I recognize that the action leaders are taking here in Washington and in European capitals can seem distant from those concerns. But these efforts are designed to directly benefit the American people.
That is President Bush speaking just about an hour ago, announcing a $250 billion plan by the government to directly buy shares in the nation's leading banks and working in coordination, direct lockstep coordination with European banks and banks around the world. Not intended to take over the free market, the president said, but to preserve it. And elaborating on that plan, Secretary of the Treasury Henry Paulson has announced that there will be specific steps developed to buy so-called toxic and difficult assets that the banks hold on their portfolios, and also steps will be taken specifically to limit compensation on the part of people who remain managing the banks that the president has announced today the federal government will take a direct financial interest in. Joining us now is Peter Morici, who's a business and economics professor at the University of Maryland and has been our partner in covering the details as the federal government's plans for the so-called rescue package have been revealed. Peter, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Do you have any sort of optimistic sort of solace in what Hank Paulson said about limiting compensation, that there are going to be some kind of management oversight provisions to this plan?
Well, no, given how much he resisted that as we went through the process of approving the bailout bill and how limp the provisions are in the bill, even when equity participation is provided, I'm not at all optimistic. I want to see the details. What makes me even more pessimistic is the supporting essay this morning in the Wall Street Journal from Chuck Schumer. He notes that the banks should not be permitted to hoard these monies or use them for exotic financial activities. And I praise him for finally saying that, for the Senate finally saying, gee whiz, you know, these banks aren't using the money we're giving them. But there really is no specifics about executive compensation. If they're going to rely on the requirements of the legislation, all I can tell your listeners is that ain't much.
Well, let's talk about the FDIC provision, which is the other pretty historic thing that the president announced. It appears that the FDIC is being extended for some temporary period into the a sector of the commercial paper market that involves small businesses. Did you grasp the details of what he was saying there?
Well, I think that what they're talking about here is that they're going to essentially guarantee interbank transactions. And they needed some sort of cover to do that. You know, the government just can't do that. It's got to have some sort of legislation. And there's two handy places that I know of to do that. One is in the FDIC legislation, which gives it broad ability to intervene if there's systemic risk. And I don't think anyone would disagree on from any place that we are in, have systemic risk. The other would be the general oversight responsibilities of the Federal Reserve. But the Federal Reserve historically has not been in the business of guaranteeing transactions. It's only been in the business of lending money out. It's already become a private bank by going into the commercial paper business. It's buying up commercial paper right now on the open market in an effort to provide availability of funds in the to small businesses. I didn't find it particularly remarkable. What I find remarkable is how limited our approach has been compared to the Europeans. But, you know, I think we're taking the more prudent course in terms of the way we're injecting equity and the way we're guaranteeing private transactions, trying to avoid blanket coverage wherever we can.
And, Peter, let's talk about the scale of this intervention. Clearly, we are in uncharted waters. Could you be more specific about what the difference is between what the U.S. is doing today and what the European banks are doing today?
You got to remember, the U.K. is about one-tenth our size as an economy, but the financial sector is much more important to the United Kingdom than the financial sector is to the United States. It is their major export industry. You're looking at the semiconductor industry over there. when you talk about banking. It's 10% of the British economy, and they are nationalizing banks. They're buying common shares, not preferred shares, and they're buying controlling interests in four large banks. That is a major takeover of financial institutions over there. It's what you'd expect from a Labour government. They have been dying to get rid of their recent legacy of New Labour over there. The Labour folks that are in control right now are dying to get back to the 1950s, and now they're there. You know, and unfortunately, they made a real hash of nationalizing steel and coal in those days. And what happens is, when you nationalize industries, they become politicized. They become methods for creating employment, and you can't run them properly. And so I'm not very optimistic about what they're doing. I think we are taking a more prudent posture. The U.S. banks haven't had a liquidity problem since last January, because the Fed's been giving them all the liquidity they want. But they've had a solvency problem. We haven't been willing to admit it. That the CEOs of our major banks, I'm not going to mention his name, have driven our banks to insolvency, and we just haven't acknowledged it. Close enough to insolvency that they're not a good risk even to each other. By putting capital in this way, we've done the first right thing. The second right thing would be to address how they got into this mess, and that, frankly, is hauling these CEOs into the president's office and congratulating them on their $1 million a year salaries.
Well, not likely to happen in Washington, but we're going to add a voice to this conversation here. Hold on there, Peter. Adora?
We have Chrystia Friedland, who is the managing editor of the Financial Times and a friend of ours. So welcome back.
Hi, Adora. Nice to be with you.
So what do you make of what we've been hearing of the details this morning? I understand you think it's a bit radical what the Treasury Department's taking on.
I do, but I think it's radical in a good way. I mean, I agree with Peter that what has finally happened is we're seeing action on the solvency side rather than liquidity side. But this is a really big deal, what is happening. This is a partial nationalization of the biggest banks in the United States. I think it's necessary because the banking system is in so much trouble. They need that government money. And this is a much more effective way of putting that government money to work.
Well, let's hope that the banking system is in better shape than your cell line at that moment, Christian. Hold on there. Peter Morici, what is the inflationary threat from this plan if it persists? And basically, the government has to print money to cover all these obligations.
It does not have to print money, sir. It does not have to print money. What it's going to do is sell U.S. Treasury securities and get money from the private market and then take that money and put it into the banks. What's more, you only have an inflationary problem if you're creating liquidity that gets out into the system in the form of loans, and our problem hasn't been too much liquidity. It has been too little that the banks aren't making loans. Zip, nada, zilch, the Nell set. That is the inflationary consequences of this.
Well,
that
wait a minute, Peter. Paul Krugman, Ken Livingston says that what's going on here is that the Chinese are financing this entire program here, and that basically we've mortgaged the U.S. economy to the Chinese, and we're going to have to sort of see how it works out.
That's a different question, sir. You're conflating issues.
Okay.
I never denied it. No, we are. The basic problem, we are in this mess. One of the two reasons we're in this mess, one reason is the profligate behavior of the New York banks, their terrible behavior. The other is that we've been running this huge trade deficit thanks to Chinese currency market intervention. What they have been doing is buying dollars and selling yen to keep the yuan very cheap and get huge amounts of exports that their comparative advantage does not require. They turn around and take those dollars and buy treasury securities. Those dollars are already out there. It's just a matter of how they're going to be used. This does not add new dollars to the system. We need to address that problem.
Okay.
But we need to address that problem. But what we're doing here neither addresses nor exacerbates that problem.
All right, Peter,
it's
maybe
just a matter of how those dollars are used.
Right. But maybe I'm an idiot. Okay. If you take out a mortgage, all right, on something, and you go way, way into debt to do it, and suddenly the value of your house declines, your cost of living goes up. That's inflation. That's essentially what we've done here. We've taken out an enormous mortgage, and the dollar begins to decline in value. That's inflation.
You have to go to the gas station and ask me if you see it at the pump price. So you have to go to the Walmart and ask me if you see it in the cost of a coffee maker. That's inflation, sir. You asked me specifically about this equity infusion. I will explain again how we will do it. It's the same way we would have taken bad paper off the books. There's a certain number of dollars out there already. Whether or not we implement this program, they are out there. We're going to sell Treasury securities and inhale some of those dollars. We're going to take them back, and then we're going to give them to the banks in exchange for equity.
Well, it seems to be
working. Dollars are being moved around.
All right, I understand, but it seems to be giving the markets a bit of a pleasure here. They're up around the world.
Confidence that now the banks are going to become solvent again. That's why it's giving them pleasure. It is a bad thing that we are financing this huge trade deficit by borrowing from the Chinese.
But for the short term, it's all about confidence. Peter, I love talking to you, but we got to go. Peter Morici, thanks so much for being with us.
Take care.
Peter Morici, business and economics professor at the University of Maryland, explaining it all to you and me.
He's always a feisty contributor.
I love Peter.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.